when Alan asked me to speak, I jumped at the opportunity because this is a group I value enormously. And I have to admit, it's a group that I'm very nervous speaking to because for me it's a peer group. It's a group of people who do similar work that I do and I have done. And for me it's always more difficult when you talk to your peers because the bar is raised fairly high in my mind. So I approached this with some nervousness, and I decided as part of what I wanted to do today, that I decided I wanted to approach what I wanted to talk about in a somewhat different way with the goal of, at some level, annoying you. That if I simply got up and said to you, you've done a great job, keep up the fight, we'll win in the end, that would burn one bar. But my sense is I want to talk more globally, and possibly my more globally is going to annoy. So if you find you're sitting there and I'm speaking and you're getting annoyed, that was the plan. Okay? It wasn't that I misread you. I thought that now I don't want to make you angry. There's a fine line there, so I'll try to watch the room very carefully. Okay? I was also, when Alan announced that the good folks from Working TV were in the room, I was madly going over my speech, taking out all the naughty phrases, the posterity stuff that I don't want to have quoted back. Like John Turvey, who often speaks at community meetings, as I roll, I tend to leave my text and start swearing. So I'm going to try and remember the camera is on, the red light hits, and I'll calm down a little bit. My name is Bruce Hardy, and I'm the Executive Director of Options Service to Community Society, a fairly large South Fraser-based multi-service nonprofit society, delivering a huge whack of services in the South Fraser, everything from handy dart to transition houses to men's shelters. I also teach all over the Lower Mainland, Justice Institute, Douglas College, UVic, pretty well everywhere that they offer child welfare courses and teachings. And over the last year or so, 2 years, I've been very, very involved in a concept called accreditation, which is standards for organizations. I thought that standards were a good idea. And in fact, if any of you read the Vancouver Province Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, where there were fairly serious articles about the state of residential care in the province of BC, the idea that there's a need for standards just leaps out to you, that when we put our most vulnerable citizens into locations where we trust that people will take care of them as we would take care of them, unless there's standards and unless there's monitoring. The article, read the article, it's well worth a read. I've been involved in formal and informal advocation for many, many years, like many of you. And in fact, I think many of us were doing advocation before it had a title. We could call it helping, advising, representing, supporting. It was only in the last few years that the whole business of what we do got itself a title. Up until a year or so ago, I was also, as Alan said, on the board of LSS, and at the same time I was a tribunal member for the Children's Commission. I saw these as both pivotal organizations for people in BC. They were more systemic advocation, formal advocation. Alan used a lovely term to describe that I'm no longer there. It was so gentle. I was fired. The entire board of directors was fired, and then I was also fired from the Children's Commission. Or, if you prefer, I was put out to pasture. I was relieved of my duties. Or, my personal favorite was, my role was found to be redundant. My guess is that I'm not the only person in the room who is wrestling with a term to describe what happened to them between June and Christmas of last year. In all likelihood, a few of you have been put out to pasture or found redundant, okay, which was a surprise to me. There are two current stories in the news, or relatively current stories, that I'm going to kind of base my discussion around today. And one you'll know, one you might not have caught. First one was that a current Ipsos Reid survey determined that 62% of people in BC could not name a basic right from the Canadian Rights and Freedoms. could not name. Now, just to put it into perspective, I tangent. I got to warn you, I tangent a lot. My speech starts out really nice, and I start making notes, and I'm all over the map. But just to put it into perspective, you should also know that there was a major study done of American high school students recently, and when presented a map of the world, 14% couldn't pick out the Pacific Ocean, and 11% couldn't find America. So, saying that 62% of people can't name a basic right probably still puts us up pretty high in terms of knowledge base. Okay. Second one was a story that it appears likely that the Olympic bid will be strongly scrutinized by the new Vancouver City Council after a somewhat overwhelming electoral sweep in the municipal elections. Now, I gotta tell you, my original notes, which were done a week ago, said, it appears likely that the Vancouver Olympic bid will be scuttled by the new Vancouver City Council, and I've had to amend my verbs, because apparently we have moved from referendum to plebiscite to, I think the newest one is, maybe an ad in the Vancouver Sun that you fill in mail. So I've moved to scrutinize. Now, why did I pick these two stories to fixate on? And I picked them because I believe that they can remind us about what we do, why we do it, how we do it. The last year and a half has been pretty dark for provincial advocates, both formal and informal. Legal Services Board was fired and replaced by a trustee, and to be truthful, a very kind and a very good trustee, but then had their budget cut by 40%. And for those of you who work in the field, a 40% reduction, actually, once you cross over a 10% line in budget cut, in my experience, you start, there's no more fat, you've passed the meat, you're into cutting bones out. Once you pass 20%, most organizations struggle to simply survive. And once you go past a third, very few organizations can turn on the lights once you go past it. So 40% is a massive cut. And clearly, I think, given the range of choices that the government had, the cut was more reflective of sending out a political message than it was intended to cut particular services. Because to be truthful, the LSS budget wasn't that big compared to other aspects of the budget of the Attorney General. But it was a clear message being sent across the province, and I certainly heard it loud and clear. Children's Commission was shut down, and I'm not sure if any of you are aware of the Children's Commission. It was an organization that that came out of the development of the Minister for Children and Families. It goes back a number of years. And its role was, it had three basic prongs in its role. One was to do fatality reviews for kids in BC, looking for patterns and to be advising the government around if kids are dying, why are they dying, and are there patterns they need to be aware of. Secondly was to review the work of the Ministry of Children and Family, particularly its work as it relates to case planning for kids in care. And the third one, which the part I was involved in, was the tribunal division, which meant a kid in care has rights. When those rights are breached and the child or an advocate for the child believes those rights are breached and resolution can't be found with the ministry, they would strike a committee of one, anywhere between one and three of us, to hear and pass judgment on whether or not the complaint was justified or whether the complaint was not justified. You can imagine that we were not overly popular with the Ministry for Children and Families, because our role was to second guess. Now, bear in mind, second guess after they had every opportunity to resolve the issue with the client with support from staff. So when we were called together, it meant there was no dialogue possible. The Child Advocates Office was shut down. And beyond the good work it did, the part that saddened me about it was that the Advocates Office was run by an officer of the legislature, which meant the advocate reported to the BC legislature, not to a particular ministry. And that's a significant difference. Okay? The advocate does that, the ombudsperson does that. It's a strong role. And finally, for those of you who aren't aware of it, a number of the larger unions, especially in the first 6 to 8 months of the new government, really had the crap kicked out of them. And when that happens, people lose rights. And in this particular case, rights were simply stripped away. Collective agreements were redone. Things that had been negotiated were taken away. It's no real surprise that so many groups with strong advocacy focuses have been cut. Because realistically, if you're going to cut services to people, it makes good political and strategic sense to cut the advocacy arm or the voice arm. Okay? I'm not talking about ethics, I'm talking about strategy. Okay? If you know where you're going on that plan, take away the voices. And this is not unique, it's been done across Canada. I watched it happen very clearly in Ontario, I've seen it happen in Manitoba, certainly happened in Alberta. Take away the voices, then make the cuts. Okay? The government also rationalized at some level that they wanted to cut funding to anything that didn't provide direct service. And it also had some difficulty with the idea of funding organizations that in turn criticized the government. Now, once again, if you are a government and you are putting money out to have somebody tell you that you're a jerk, it wouldn't be too hard to make a move to say, why the heck are we doing this?
Psychotherapy?
Could well be therapy. Therapy. Okay. Now, let's face it, if we're doing our jobs right, and I'm talking about the broad advocating community, if we are doing our jobs right, we are a pain in the ass. Okay? And to be truthful, it shouldn't matter what government's in play. And I've done advocacy work, and I've worked for government after government after government. And in BC, we flip rather regularly, and because we're very extreme, when we flip, like we really flip. Okay? And I proudly was a pain in the ass to the Social Credit government, and two brands of NDP government, and hope to be a pain in the ass to the Liberal government. But that's the nature of the work we do. We're challenging the status quo. We're saying, wait a minute, tell me why. Why is that happening? And I remember a fellow I worked with, still work with, named Ian Moss, who worked at the Advocate's Office. And we used to talk about the role of advocate. And he had a really interesting take on it. And what he said was the role of the advocate is to supply voice for someone who does not have voice. If a person has voice, the role of the advocate, truly from Ian's perspective, was to simply step back. But in many cases, people don't have voice. So the advocate steps forward to say, this person can't speak on their behalf. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that. But I will speak. For them, not for me, but for them. Okay? When we do that, we annoy. And bear in mind, no matter which government is elected, whether it's federal, provincial, or municipal, what happens in opposition is not what happens in government. They are two different worlds. And for any government official who is elected and believes that they can continue on being the friend of the people and their door will always be open when they get elected, they soon find that that is not the case. The politics don't matter a great deal. It doesn't. Right now what you're going to find is that what is left of the opposition will be the best friend we ever had. And to be truthful, while they were in opposition, the BC Liberal Party had an open door policy, and I got to tell you, I had no difficulty. I could pick for up until about 3 or 4 months before the election, I could literally go over to Victoria on a whim. And if the House was sitting and they were around, I could meet with anybody I wanted pretty much for as long as I wanted, say pretty much what I wanted, and be pretty much guaranteed that whatever I wanted was what they wanted. Okay? I didn't have the same access to the government. Okay? It was much harder to get in the door, much harder to get a meeting, and absolutely impossible to get a meeting with a minister without a variety of handlers. Couldn't do that one-to-one, let's have a chat. Okay? Now is the time to start talking to whatever the opposition is going to be, because right now, people have time to talk to you.